This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. I'm so happy today to connect with an old friend, Valerie Iannitti. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Roland. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad that you could take some time. I know you're really busy. Like me, you have a small family, and so they come first, and I totally understand. But we've been trying to connect for a little bit now, so I'm glad that we were finally able to do this.
Yeah, I am too. And yeah, you're right. It's hard to find a quiet time for this to happen. So this is the perfect time for me.
Awesome. So let me fill people in on how you and I know each other. So we go back a long way. We went to the same elementary school and then we went to the same high school. But in elementary school, I didn't know you. I just kind of knew who you were because, you know, it was a small school and everybody kind of knew who everybody was. And then it was in high school, grade 11 on, that I really got you and I started hanging out with a group of people and we had a lot of fun. And then, after that in the university years and things like that, we just kept in touch and we hung out and we got along and it was great.
Yeah. I have such fond memories of our time together, especially in those later years in high school and early university days. So this is a real treat for me, Roland, to reconnect with you today.
Well, I appreciate that. I was talking to an educator the other day, Chris Clough. He works with the York Region District School Board. And I met Chris at a one-day conference type thing that we went to in Mississauga. And, we hit it off and then had him on the podcast. And I found out that he was a chef before becoming a teacher. And he was, it was Italian cuisine that he had become an expert in. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started talking about you on the podcast, because I have fond memories of hanging out at your place with your family and your parents would be cooking. They'd be making supper or whatever. And it was just so fascinating to experience that in and of itself. So basically, if people want to try to visualize this, there are people at your place and your parents were always very inviting. They rolled us into whatever they were doing. And I remember a couple of times, at least two distinct memories of being at your place while your parents were making supper. And the whole, the Italian cooking thing was going on while we were having great discourse. And then, we'd get to sample the food, which was even better than being there for when it was being prepared. So it was just neat talking to Chris and kind of remembering those times of being at your house. So it's layered my feelings on talking to you today.
Yeah. Those are just such wonderful times. And I was thinking about this because I heard that episode with Chris and I heard what you sort of spoke of in your memories about coming over to our house. The thing is that, when you're a kid, your nuclear family's reality becomes the standard for everything, or it becomes so normalized, right? And somehow you don't really think outside of those walls. You just kind of assume that that's the way it is in everybody's house. And so I didn't realize that not every family cooked the way we did. And so, it was like, as I got older and we had more and more friends come over, it was always such a treat to hear their perceptions of the way we cooked and we ate at our house. It was such a joy. I mean, and that's still one of the biggest joys, even now that I have my own family. We love having people over and entertaining them.
Right on. I imagine it's a good time, just like it used to be back in the day. What's really cool is I still connect with your parents. So your parents are on Facebook. So it's always neat to connect with them and make comments on their pictures and stuff. My favorite is when your mom posts stuff in Italian and sometimes I just jump in and say something in English and, go from there. But your parents have a great sense of humor, and they've always entertained my way. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I need to tell everybody that you are not an educator and you don't work in education.
No.
Because so far I've been connecting with educators or people in the realm of education. So I would say you're the first person that I've spoken to on the podcast that's actually going to be recorded and played out, because I did interview someone else, but the audio got all messed up. So you're the first one that's going to be published that is not in education. But your story, I would say, is a really cool one. And I want people to hear it. And I want people to hear about it. So tell us what you're up to right now.
So right now, as of about the last 6 months, I launched a company. It's an online meal planning and food delivery service. We're currently servicing the Ottawa area. It's called Zestable. And yeah, I mean, that's briefly what I'm doing right now, running this business.
Okay, so have you ever ran a business before?
No. So it's a whole new kettle of fish for me.
Okay. And what brought you to, what was the moment where you kind of woke up and you're like, I'm doing this, I'm starting my own business, and this is the type of business I'm going to start?
It wasn't a moment. It was a real process. A lot of people like to romanticize the notion of starting a business. It wasn't romantic for me. It wasn't like a eureka moment. It was the culmination of a couple of years where I was trying to figure out what my next move would be. So maybe I should give you some background.
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. So I had worked in a completely different industry for about a decade. So I did this long meandering process of several school degrees and had decided to and wanted very much to work in international development, which is where I worked for a number of years, actually running education and training programs in many countries in Africa. After which, or while I was doing that, I met the person who would become my husband, and he was not able to stay in Canada. He was on a student visa here in Canada. He was an Italian citizen at the time, and his visa was running out, and we liked each other a lot. And we were already into our 30s by then. And so we were like, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I could go back to the Middle East where I was working previously. Would you like to come with me? And so I said, okay. So I quit my job in development. It was the right time for me to do that. And I took a chance on this guy I'd known for 6 weeks, and we moved to Abu Dhabi together. And while we were there, I was working in a school as a school counselor, and he had a much more onerous job. He was working many, many days, many, many more hours per week than I. So I decided to do an MBA, a master's of business, while I was there. So this kind of started me thinking about business. But then, you know, we got married, we started having kids, and I had both my kids while I was completing this MBA. We moved back to Canada. I graduated from the MBA, had like a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I was like, what am I going to do now? I'll go and find a job. So I had started looking for a job, but by now I was, you know, in my mid-30s. And I found it very hard to re-enter the workforce. It was very demoralizing because I was, you know, a highly educated person. I had, you know, a lot of career experience. I had a lot of education, and I couldn't find a job. And it was very difficult. And so I kind of said to myself, well, if it's so hard to find a job as a woman who made some specific gendered choices, so I chose to stay home with my kids while I was doing the MBA, it shouldn't be this hard to get back into the workforce. And so I'm going to start something of my own. And that's how it came to be.
That's a cool story. Knowing you, you've always been in from my perspective, and my perspective is skewed, right? Because I know you from a certain time, and I've not connected with you over the past 10 years. There's one of the joys of working in a school, the bell. But anyway, which is nice because I don't actually have to go right now.
It's awesome.
I love that. When the bell rings and I don't have to go running, it's great. But so my perspective of you is skewed. You've always been, based on what I know, a very free spirit, an open person, you know, always willing to be challenged, never kind of stepping away from a challenge. And so as I hear you talk about, you know, having had kids and then trying to enter the workforce and not feeling so good about the opportunities out there for a highly educated lady, person, whatever, highly educated, can do a lot. To hear you say that it was not working, that bothers me as someone who knows you. And it helps me reflect on the fact that I work, many of my friends and I work in education where we have a role to play. And, you know, we can leave for a couple of years and come back. And that's not the way it works for everyone. So I appreciate you sharing that story with us and giving us kind of an understanding of where you were coming from. And it is kind of neat, though, because you've always been a creative person. So for you to be like, you know what, I'm going to start something on my own. I'm sure you feel, well, okay, so running a business, it's probably not easy, correct?
No, it's not easy at all.
Okay. But is it meeting your needs?
Okay, so that's a tough question because, like, there are so many levels of needs, right? I can only run a business. I could only take on the risk of launching a business because I have an exceptionally supportive partner whose job meets our sort of basic needs in life. I could also only run this business because he supports my emotional needs through the roller coaster that is running a business. Running a business fuels my creative needs. And that's in part where the motivation comes from, and that's what continues to drive every day, despite the enormous challenges that one faces when one runs a business. So I've never been good in, let's say, a traditional workplace, and I've been very lucky in my past career experiences to always have found jobs where I am afforded the opportunity to be creative, and where I've had a lot of sort of, I've been given hold of the reins of my position such that I can run my job as per the way sort of my creative abilities and my skills would have allowed me to do so. What starting a business on my own has allowed me to do is to never have any day ever be the same as the one before. And I thrive on that.
Okay. This is really good stuff because you're not sugarcoating any of this. You're just telling us how it is and you're speaking to your experience, and it's refreshing to have the authenticity. It's also a little bit disappointing to hear like how difficult it is, and that, well, every day is different. That's good. But, you know, your husband, your partner is very, very supportive. And you're telling us that's very important in this situation for you.
It's huge. I mean, on so many levels, right? And in part, this is why I say that. Okay, let me tell you a story. So I went to a conference the other day. It was an entrepreneurship conference in Ottawa, from like an organization that has a Canada-wide network. And this was, you know, the annual Canadian conference. Okay. It was for entrepreneurs. experienced ones, and then the new ones, right? And so I was so excited to go to this thing. It was an excellent conference, but I walked into that room and I would say maybe 1/8, maybe 1/10 of the people were women. So there were big round tables, and at each round table of 8 people, not even one person was a woman at every table.
Wow.
That's crazy to me, you know, and that signifies to me that there is still a huge or humongous hurdles that we need to leap over to get equality in the business world. So when I say to you that I couldn't have done this alone, there's no way I could have. And any woman who doesn't have, you know, a supportive network will not be able to do this. You know, I met with this amazing woman this morning who's part of my network, and she's a single mom and she's self-employed, and she's recently separated from her husband. And, you know, she says, there are a lot of things I can't do because I'm a single mom and being self-employed, I don't have benefits. I don't have dental care. I can't go and, you know, get physiotherapy. I can't do anything. So when you're running a business, you don't have any of those benefits, let alone a salary, right? Like I don't know when I'm going to have a salary. So without that supportive person or network in one's life, you cannot start a business.
Okay. This brings me, what you're saying brings me to the next thing that I kind of wanted to hit on with you, was that when you and I were going back and forth talking about getting together to talk about this, you kind of gave me a little bit of information about your road to starting your own business. And you had mentioned something around, you know, how difficult and how many barriers you had experienced as a female attempting to move in this direction. Can you tell us a little bit about that in terms of, what kinds of things did you come up against that you believe you came up against because of your gender?
Okay, well, so I was also a mom with 2 very young children when mm-hmm. I decided to start my business. So that posed challenges in and of itself. So my kids were 1 and 3 when I started this journey. And so that was about 2 years ago when I started the market research. At that time, like I said, I had just graduated from this degree and my kids were at home with me full time. And we were, you know, a family with 1 salary. And so, you know, to start a business, you got to do a lot of work. But, you know, we couldn't afford to plunk them both into daycare, which, as we know, in Ontario is extremely expensive. So what did I do? You know, I couldn't just have them like sit in front of the TV all day long while I did market research. So challenge number 1 was, how do I take care of my children and start this business? So what I ended up finding was that there's a program funded by the province called Jobs Ontario. It was a place where I could go, and they had a little daycare for kids. And it's kind of like a job center where people go in and they look for work. I went in, I used the computers there, and I plunked my kids into the daycare. And I did my market research from the computers over there. So at least my kids were kind of being like played with while I started doing my research and started building the company. So, you know, that's challenge number 1 is how does a woman, a mom, balance all of those aspects of her life, you know?
Yeah, it's a great example. Because you're right. I mean, you're with the kids, so how are you supposed to make this happen if you can't get any support with that specific example or that context that you have in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. I mean, it's really neat to hear. I don't talk to many people who have started their own business, so I don't know what it's like. And before I spoke to you, it's really funny because I just assumed that things had just gone smoothly, that, you know, Val had an idea and it was happening, and it never... It's funny, it never entered my mindset that you wouldn't have a supportive partner. And, you know, that I just never, that's why I'm really happy we're talking about this, because it sounds like there have been a lot of things in your way to get you to where you need to go. And so it's good to hear about it and be able to talk about it like this, which is, again, brings me to the next section, about motivation. So Val, what, okay. So I heard a little bit about your motivation to start your own business so that you could create something and you could do what you needed to do based on the life that you're living. I get that. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yes.
What part of it's not accurate?
No, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking about all the other, yes. I'm excited to hear the question.
The question is, where do you get your motivation and inspiration from? I mean, okay, so you're doing this every day. It's not easy. It sounds like it's rewarding, because I know you. You wouldn't be doing it if you weren't being rewarded intrinsically. It doesn't sound like the extrinsic stuff has come into play yet, but I could be wrong on that too. But what motivates and inspires you to keep doing this every day?
So knowing that I was going to talk to you today, really, I thought long and hard about this. But now that I'm faced with the question, so there are a lot of things that motivate me. So from my young adulthood, my main motivating factor was always to do something in my life that would be helpful to others. It was always what motivated me in choosing my degrees, in choosing my first career, and so when I started to think about what kind of a business to run, I was very much influenced by my particular situation in life. So I was a busy mom with two little kids, and I started, you know, as you reach a stage of life where you saw your parents 20, 30 years ago, you kind of put yourself in their shoes. And I remember those days at my home as a teenager, watching my mom put dinner on the table in a way that I thought was effortless, right? Every night she made this amazing two-course meal. She would have it on the table. She would bring it to us with a smile. She was a working mom. My dad worked. They both worked. And every night we had a beautiful meal on the table. And suddenly I was at the stage where I needed to do this as well. And I was struggling to make that happen effortlessly. It, in fact, took a lot of effort and a lot of thought. And I realized that what my mother or my parents had made look so simple was in fact not simple at all. And more and more often I started hearing from my friends who were from, you know, families with two working parents, and they were struggling to feed their kids healthy meals every night, you know? And we all have resorted to like, oh gosh, what am I going to feel? I'll just give you a bowl of cereal tonight. Like, we don't have time for this. We got to get to soccer. We got to get to dance, whatever. So I thought, well, okay, this is another way to help people, right? There is little that is more important than feeding yourself well, right? You have a body and you have to take care of that body. And oftentimes that is the first thing that people stop doing when life gets really out of hand. And so I became really motivated by this reality that hit me so hard. I need to help people who want to eat well. I want to help them do it in a way that is healthy, delicious, ethically responsible, and really helps them get through their days. So that was like the first kind of big motivating factor. But like another thing that really motivates me sort of on a more general level, and I've been thinking a lot about this too, is risk. So I'm a person who believes in taking risks in life. And, you know, like that example I gave you about quitting my job and moving to Abu Dhabi with the guy that I had met 6 weeks earlier. It was a huge risk. you know, and a lot of people in my life were like, you're so crazy. Like, you just quit this amazing job. You're moving halfway across the world to be with a guy that you don't know. That's crazy. But it was something that I needed to do, because if I hadn't done that, I never would have built a relationship with this person who has become, you know, arguably the most important person in my life. And that's one of the many sort of personal risks I've taken. And so the idea of launching oneself into something wholeheartedly is extremely motivating, because you're putting it all on the table, right? Like, you take on so much risk when you start a business, not only financial, but reputational risk, right? People who know and love you are constantly sort of like, hey, how's that business going? How's it going? You know, people, you're putting your reputation on the line. You're saying, I'm putting everything, all that I have, all of my capacities and my skills and everything into this venture. I need to work hard to make sure that there's a solid return on that risk. And that's very motivating.
Okay. Good to hear. The first point you made is totally you, the Val that always wanted to help out in some way, right? I get that. The second one was interesting for me to hear about the risk. That's cool. But I get what you're saying, because when you do certain things, and, you know, like starting a business, you're really putting yourself out there. You're right. There are people who are kind of asking about it. There are people who are depending on you to be successful, or at least to work your tail off, which it sounds like you're doing. For me and other people that I've spoken to, acquaintances of yours, you know, when we found out what you were doing, it was like it made perfect sense. She's cooking food to feed people. And then it brought us all back to your place many years ago. And I have to say, your parents did make it look easy. Like, Sarah and I, you know, when we're preparing meals or whatever, it's nuts. And there's two of us in the kitchen and still nuts. Some days it is hard. But I remember, like I said, like, I don't remember your parents ever like looking stressed or anything. They just whipped it off and served all these people. They never really knew how many people they were serving either, because mm-hmm. who knew, you know, how many friends you had over and how many friends your brother had over or whatever. But that's really cool for me to hear what motivated you and what currently motivates and inspires you to do this work. Was there ever any other type of business that you had considered, or was it like the food thing was really the main one?
Well, so after my daughter was born, I started sewing mm-hmm. and I started crafting, and I loved it. You know, I loved spending my days creating these pieces of, you know, beautiful stuff, bags, curtains, whatever. So I kind of, you know, like in the age of Etsy, I kind of thought, oh, maybe I could start an online like crafting business, but like, no, I never considered it seriously, because there's no hope for success in that. So no, I landed on food because food comes naturally to me. And I mean, there are different different variations on the theme of food. But ultimately this is what I landed on, because it just made sense.
And what did people say initially when you were like, yeah, this is what I want to do?
My parents, who are really very, very supportive in many ways, they are not entrepreneurial. And neither am I by nature, honestly. They thought I was nuts. Like, they thought, I think they just couldn't get it, right? Because you know what it's like. They're immigrants. They had a very set formula for how to live life, right? Right. You get yourself a decent job, a good solid job that's got benefits, that's got a pension, and you work hard until you can retire with a full pension.
Right.
And you know, and I was on that road. I had all the education, they were so proud, you know, I was doing well, and you know, and then I come up with this crazy idea to start a business that has no certainty and is in a very competitive industry with a lot of risk. And so I think that, I mean, that's very hard, right? Because you always want to please your parents, right? You want to make them mm-hmm. proud. And it's not to say that they're not proud. I think they, you know, they're very practical people, and this, there's nothing practical about starting a business. And so I think that that's one of the hardest things that I kind of struggle with is knowing that they're like always kind of biting their nails, wondering like what's going to happen, you know, if things are going to take off. And yeah, so I think that, you know, other people were kind of like, oh, good for you. That's cool. I could totally use that service. I'm really struggling with, you know, so there were certainly validating conversations. Yeah, so kind of a mixed bag.
Okay, so I have to ask, you've done some pretty interesting, crazy things as you've, you know, as you progress through your young life. So do you think that in a weird way, all those things that you had done in the past were preparing you for this opportunity and for, like, when you tell me you told your parents and they were kind of like, what are you doing? You've done a lot in your short life where I would imagine your parents looked at you and said, what are you doing?
Yeah, they said that a lot. They did, you know, when I moved to Africa, when I came back from Africa with malaria and typhoid and then said, oh, I'm going back to Africa. They were like, no, they literally chained me to the banister. Like literally they bought handcuffs and chained me to the banister and said, you're never going again. Of course I went back. There were a lot of things that they, what I do think prepared me for this, I don't know. Again, I think a lot about this. I lived in a very stable home when I was growing up. And I think that that stability made me a riskier person or a bigger risk taker. Mm-hmm. Because somehow I always know that I'm going to land on my feet. No matter what happens, you know, and I'm an extremely positive person, and I really believe that if you open up your spirit to the world will bring you goodness in one mm-hmm. form or another. And I'm a like a glass half full kind of gal, and so I know the challenges of this business. I know that there's a chance it could fail. There's a strong chance that it's going to pivot and we take a different road. There's a small chance that it's going to just take off in its current form. So I'm not looking at it through rose-colored glasses, but I know that what I have built over the last 2 years, that I will like suck all of the sweetness out of it before I let it go. And mm-hmm. even if I have to shut the business down, which I'm not anticipating, but if it does happen, I know that something good will come out of it. And so, yes, like having gone through so many things in my life and lived many, many different experiences and challenges, I have always figured out a way to land on my feet. And I think mm-hmm. that those experiences have prepared me for this very big risk that I've taken on.
Okay. I can't help but think that all the little things that have happened to you throughout your time have led you to this. But that's a space that I'm in right now, thinking of all the things I've experienced and how it's brought me to where I am today, and hoping that the things I'm doing today are going to prepare me to be better equipped for what's to come in my future. So that's just kind of my bend on it. I want to see what you had to say. Mm-hmm. We're coming up to the end of our time together on the podcast. And at the end, I always like to ask a question about what my guest would say to someone who needed motivation or inspiration. And I just recently watched this really cool video by Gary Vaynerchuk, who's an entrepreneur, and he puts out a lot of great content and a lot of really neat sound bites. But he was talking about providing advice to people with no context. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I know if somebody asks you, like if an entrepreneur or somebody who wants to start a business came up to you and said, you know what, Val, I don't even know where to start. What would you say? I don't really go with that approach. I go with more like of a general approach. So no, with no context really. But if someone, one of your friends or someone you meet says to you, you know, they really love what you're doing and that you're going after what it is you want and challenging yourself, and they ask you for advice on how to become motivated or inspired, what would you say to them?
About 15 years ago, I opened up a box of bocce. You know those chocolates with the little messages inside?
Yep.
And I got a little paper and I read the message, and this is what it said. It was an Arab proverb. And it said, lance ton cœur devant toi et cours le rattraper. That's in French. And what it means is throw your heart before you and run after and catch it. And this is how I live every day of my life. And this is how I live my journey of entrepreneurship. And I'll tell you why. Because when you start a business, you are never going to get it right the first time. And this is what I'm learning. You can't expect to start something and boom, have it work. You gotta throw it out there in whatever form you can muster together. And then you gotta figure out how to make it thrive. And so that's my advice. That's the way I'm approaching it. Because if you wait until you get it right, you're never going to launch a business, and 3 years will go by and you'll still be sitting on an idea and you will have accomplished nothing. Once you get it up and running, then you can tweak it. Then you can perfect it. Then you talk to your customers. And then you can get it right as you're working towards building something. So that's what I think I would say to somebody.
Thank you very much for your advice. It's I'm sure a lot of people it resonates with a lot of people, especially in education. We're seeing a lot of kids who walk in and expect to just do things for the first time and be successful. And that's just not the way people learn. That's not the way people adjust. I mean, there are very few people who can do that. Very, very few people. Like in my little lifetime, I can think of two people that might come close to being able to just be gifted enough to be able to do something right or very well the first time. So what you're telling us is very appropriate, and I believe many people can connect to what you've said. Again, it's, you know what, it's been really nice to chat with you for the past, like, you know, 37, 38 minutes. It's too bad that I haven't been able to connect with you just as friends over the past few years, but getting to talk to you is better than not getting to talk to you. So I do appreciate your time.
I have loved this so much, and I wish we could have talked for another 37 minutes, but people would have probably stopped listening.
Some people won't. I've come across a few people who are gluttons for punishment. They just listen to the whole thing, which is cool. And if they don't listen to it, that's cool too. It's being done to try to help people. It'll be out there, and I'm sure people will stumble on it whether they want to or not. And they'll get to hear your approach and, you know, what motivates and inspires you and your journey. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, and maybe not want to start their own business, but want to do something. And after they listen to you, they might be a little bit more motivated or inspired to just start. It's really cool that you remember that quote in the chocolate from all those years ago.
Well, it's been kind of my motto. So yeah, I held it near and dear to my heart.
Right on. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Roland. You too. It was
no problem.
Real joy talking to you.
Same here. I'm glad that we could talk. And as soon as this is out and ready for the masses, I will let you know, and then you can do whatever you want with it. I know that I can't wait to publish it, put it out there, and add it to all the other content that I've been able to create for people, and hopefully it will assist someone. I know it helps me. So on a selfish level, getting to talk to you today and hear about your journey, your experience, has been eye-opening for me as someone who's known you for a very long time. And it's just, you know, it keeps it, it's in the back of my mind. You know, if I want to start something, I just need to do it, throw my heart out there and then chase after my heart and catch it kind of thing. So thank you very much. And we'll definitely be in touch.
Thanks, Roland. And thanks for putting together such a thoughtful podcast. It's so important to hear about what motivates people, for sure. Thank you.